Harper Audio presents Up From the Blue by Susan Henderson. Performed by Emily Durante. May 29, 1991, 8:47 a.m. It starts like a tingling at the top of my abdomen, and then, as if I'm wearing control-top pantyhose, which I'm not, I've never been that girly, it begins to shrink in around me, tighter and tighter, until my belly feels rock hard. Nervous, I pace our new apartment, hoping to simply walk it off. It's not a contraction. I won't allow it. Not now. The baby isn't due for 6 more weeks. When my belly relaxes again, the tingle fading, I dig through the moving boxes trying to find my address book and a telephone to plug in. I'm not even sure if we hooked up the service or not. I try to breathe slowly. The boxes are packed randomly, my husband's idea to keep it simple and take the stress out of moving. "It's all going to the same place," he had said. He knows I have issues with too many orders and too many rules. Unfortunately, I also have issues with chaos. I peel the tape off one box and find oven mitts, books, and shoes. Another has cups, a tape dispenser, and a notebook of unfinished poems that were better in my head than they are on paper. My hair, far past my waist, drips into the next carton filled with a lampshade and stuffed animals from the baby shower. No phone, no address book. My breath comes faster as I scan the stacks of boxes lining this room I've only known for 2 days, and when I consider the time and the amount of lifting it would require to go through them all, I realize I could be in trouble. I can't reach Simon because he's still mid-flight to Paris, where he's helping to choose art pieces and oversee their shipment for the Modern Art Museum that just hired him. He didn't want to travel this late in the pregnancy, but he's lucky to have this job. Majoring in art history is a lot like acquiring an expensive degree in unemployment, and now more than ever, he wants to bring stability to our family. I slam the cardboard flap closed on another box, and now I'm scared. I shouldn't have been going up and down the stairs so much. If something hurts this baby, it's all my fault. Next door is a row house that looks like ours, Queen Anne style, brick, though ours is red with a round bay window and the other is white with a square bay window. I see glimpses of my neighbor moving from room to room, tidying up, sipping her coffee or tea. She looks about my age and is the perfect image of how I plan to spend my day, slowly unpacking and cleaning, and later scoping out local restaurants to find a way to reclaim this town I thought I'd never live in again. There's another tightening in my belly. Out of options, I open the door to the bustle of traffic and fast-walking men and women with briefcases. I hold the rail and walk quickly down our steps and up the neighbors, knocking normally at first, and then more frantically. As I listen to her footsteps approaching, I'm stunned by my reflection in the glass on either side of her door. I was wrong to think I resembled this woman I'd seen through the window in any way.
"Can I help you?" she asks.
She looks as if she dressed from an L.L. Bean catalog, professionally relaxed, makeup and hair done, but lightly. We may both be in our mid-20s, but with my wet, stringy hair, gray maternity jumper, and untied red high tops, once again, I look like the kid without a mother.
"I just moved in next door, and I think I need a doctor. Can I use your phone?"
"Of course, of course."
We move quickly through her immaculate house, past knick-knacks and tapestries from Africa, Russia, China. This neighborhood is filled with young diplomats. The only reason we could afford something here is because we got a fixer-upper we have no immediate plans to fix up. I follow the woman into the kitchen, where she points to the telephone hanging on the wall.
"I'll be in the next room if you need me," she says.
I wonder if she's told me her name. I simply nod, take the receiver in my hand, and freeze. I don't have anyone to call. I don't know the name of the local hospital. I haven't memorized my former doctor's number and haven't yet found a new one. I was going to get to all of that. I'm aware that the woman who owns this house is listening for me to do something, and because I'm afraid, I dial the number of my childhood home, wishing I could talk to my mother. But of course, she doesn't answer.
"Hello, General Harris speaking."
I haven't heard my father's voice in 2 or 3 years, maybe a call a few Christmases ago, and at first I say nothing. Then, because my belly is tightening again and I'm standing in a stranger's house, I say, I'm scared.
Tilly!
I never officially cut him off. There was no big falling out. Life just got busy, and the less we were in touch, the more peaceful I felt. I didn't even tell him I got married.
Tilly, is that you? Talk to me.
I'm in DuPont Circle, and I need a doctor.
You're in D.C.? What's wrong?
I'll tell the doctor what's wrong. I just need to get to a hospital, and I don't know which one or how to get there. This is what he's good at, ignoring the emotions of the moment and solving a problem. After 4 or 5 minutes of him trying to give me directions I'm too panicked to follow, he decides to call me a cab that will take me to GW Hospital.